News Talk Breakfast.
In association with AIR. Do anything, anywhere with high-speed 4G mobile data coverage across 96% of the population.
This is News Talk.
Helicopter parents and how children who have helicopter parents are less able to control their emotions in later life. Joanna Fortune, a child psychotherapist, joins us now. Joanna, you're probably not surprised by this finding, are you?
No, not at all. No. And I think helicopter parenting is, you know, something that's evolved greatly. Initially, we would have been looking at it being associated with parents predominantly interfering in school, not pleased with their kids' subject choices or teachers or results, and interfering at that level. But it actually, over the years, has grown into almost a parenting style in general. And we see evidence of helicopter parenting with children as young as toddlerhood, so kind of 18 months to 24 months onwards.
Just before we turn to why this has happened, just give us the explanation as to why it's not a good thing for kids if we're kind of standing over them saying, no, this is what you do, or here, I know we look after that. Why is that not good?
It's about not affording children opportunity to practice independence and develop resilience, basically. But, I mean, it's important to say, like, nobody sets out to helicopter parent to damage their children. I do think it comes from the best possible intentions. It's just that those intentions backfire as your children grow up because they're not capable of doing things that same age or developmentally aged children can do. That would include all kinds of social skills, trying things out for themselves, being able to cope with a row with a little friend, being able to negotiate, make repair, being able to make choices of their own. And then when they get upset or they experience disappointment, which of course is a part of life, that could be in not getting 10 out of 10 in their spellings, or it could be not coming first on sports day. It could be anything. But we want our children, particularly by the age of 7, to be able to emotionally self-regulate so that they can cope with disappointments and anger and sadness, and they can manage it. Children who've been parented like this can't, and they tend to get overwhelmed emotionally very quickly and look like they're falling apart.
How did we go in one generation from, my parents' generation, our parents' generation, I don't think they fretted over whether or not they were stressed, whether or not they were really good parents. In many cases, they were good parents, my own included. But there was a kind of an almost a benign neglect at times. You know, it was kind of, you were left to your own devices. And I think it was a good thing. How did we go from that to what we're like as parents today? And I think a lot of us do engage in helicopter parenting. Why did that happen?
I totally agree with you, but our parents didn't have the internet showing them a shiny, glossy veneer of what so-called perfect parenting is. And I think that's a big part of it. Like, we constantly see people posting and sharing their very best family moments, and we can often feel like, oh my goodness, is that what other people's lives are like? Mine isn't. I better up my game here. And I think it's made us more controlling in general, because I do think you're right. I think there's a sprinkle of helicopter parenting going on in different areas of most of our lives. I also think that we suffer more from parental guilt in this generation than ever before, because we're having to do more ourselves just to keep everything afloat. So we're doing more for less. And I mean, you know, in terms of job demands and life demands outside of parenting. And we are more reliant on third-party childcare than any generation before us. So I think there's a combination of factors that have led us going, well, when I'm with my children, I want them to have the absolute best. I want everything to go absolutely perfect. And I want to be the best parent I can be. And I think that's been a breeding ground for this.
Is some of that because of those parenting books as well? Again, I don't think my mother and father ever read a parenting book. When our firstborn was coming along, we had about four of them that we were constantly looking at.
I think parenting books can be really helpful and supportive once you know what you're looking for. Otherwise, I think you can, like in any industry, you can get bamboozled with what's out there. If you start reading books upon books upon books, what can happen is you stop attuning to your own parental instincts. And that can be another thing going, well, if I don't trust my own parental instinct, okay, I better do it in this way to make sure I get it right.
Is that the message then? Because is that the message to parents this morning? Just, you know what, trust your instincts.
I think trust your instincts. I think, you know, trust your instincts. Your instinct may also be telling you when you need to reach out for help, and there's no shame in that, so do that as well. So don't think you've got to do it all on your own. But at the same time, you know your child better than anyone else. Practice independence with them. Give them opportunities from the youngest possible age to do little chores around the house. Even if you plant a seed and have them water it every day that they are responsible for taking care of from a very young age, you are allowing them to practice independence. You are helping them to develop and foster the social skills that are going to stand them later on. So I think, you know, trust yourself, but moreover, trust your children that they can manage as well. But give them the chance and opportunity to practice it from the youngest age.
Okay, good advice. Joanna Fortune, child psychotherapist. Thanks indeed for talking to us.